Bible, raise your hand. If you don't have a Bible, don't look, sit there trying to pretend that you memorize the entire Bible. And if you choose to make this church as your home church, bring your Bible, please. I'm not talking about that, you know, the big table on your coffee table, big Bible, that you need a dolly to carry that thing around. If you don't have a Bible, come talk to me. I'll give you a Bible. Okay? All right. Let's open the Bible to chapter 7. Not Nehemiah. I'm so used to it. Matthew. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Before we go get into this word, I'd like to thank for those who showed up recognition of the Pastor's Appreciation Month. I thank you for that, and it encourages me. Anyway, I'd like to read this article to you. Listen carefully. If somehow this rings a bell to you, I'd like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or convict me or disturb my sleep, but just enough for me to feel good as I do my religious duty on Sunday morning, or to get some brownie points from whoever this God is for the rainy day. I'd like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to change my lifestyle, but just enough to know that I have a ticket to heaven in case I die. I'd like to live here forever, you know. I don't want God to tell me how to live. I don't want Him to tell me, stop going seeing R-rated movies, stop drinking, stop smoking, stop snorting, or stop sleeping with this woman whose name I don't know. I just want a pound of eternity in the paper sack. I'd like to buy this $3 worth of God, please. No, I'm not talking about the flesh and blood one they call Jesus. They say that He's the only way. In my opinion, that seems a very narrow-minded religion. I'd like to have a plastic cross on my dashboard. I'll even wear it around my neck as a good luck charm. I'd like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Doesn't this sound like a world view of Christianity and their religion? They want God, yes, they want God. They want God to bless this America. They want God to bless their family, especially themselves. But they don't want that God of holiness. They don't want a God of righteousness. They will agree that God is a God of love. However, they often forget that, and it's not just them, all of us forget that God is a God of righteousness, God of holiness. God will not lower His standard. To God, either good or bad, holy and unholy, righteous or unrighteous. Simple. Religion is doomed to fail because it is impossible for finite man to reach infinite God. Religion demands for us to do something. Somehow we're thinking that we can reach God's righteousness and holiness by doing good things. Bible says, to Him, our goodness is of nothing more than filthy rag. So, while the religion says they are trying to reach God, which is impossible, but Christianity, God of Christianity said, I can reach you. Finite, puny man tried to reach infinite, awesome God, but for God, infinite God is not a problem to reach down to the finite puny man. While the other religion says, do this, do this, do this, and do that. God of Christianity said, it is done. It is finished. Religion says, you have to make your way to heaven. But the God of Christianity says, it is pure relationship. You know me, I know you, you come in. People don't like that kind of narrow-minded things. Let's see what Jesus talks about it. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, this is not a popular saying. This is not something majority of people in the world would like to hear. But it is the fact, whether they like it or not. Open our heart to receive your truth. Teach us today. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus doesn't tinker around here and there in our lives. He doesn't suggest to do some moral tune-up. He tells us to do overhaul. He gives us choice. Either or. Either you follow me or you don't follow me. Either you're for me, you're against me. To God, there is no middle ground. There is no gray area. See, we like to have, you know, little leeway. Come on, give me a break, God. You can give me a little gray area where I can do what I want. We will find adjectives from what we're going to read. Jesus bring up the several aspects. Two paths, two trees, two claims, and later we find out two foundations in the following studying. So we are going to find that Jesus is telling us either this or that. Nothing in between. Option is A or B, not A, B, C. Maybe somewhere in between. There's nothing existing when it comes to God. There's no such thing as a gray area. Let's go to verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, underline, narrow is the gate, and the difficult is the way, underline that, which lead to life. There are few who find it. As I said, there are interesting, contrasting adjectives, narrow, wide, small, broad, few, and many. God is trying to tell us it is not popular for us to choose narrow way, difficult way. Let's face it. Personally, I do not care to choose difficult way. How would you like to go through the bumpy road when you can go highway 85 miles or 75 miles per hour? If you're like me, 85 miles an hour. It shows my heart, right? I have a lead foot problem. No, actually, I was not driving fast. I was flying low. That's all. See, broad path is the way of it, typical worldly life. That's what we like to do. But that's somehow, because broad, that means more people go there. Somehow we think there's a security in it. Really. We believe that there's a number, sheer numbers in security. What a false security we get. Let me ask you this. You heard this before. Is the majority always correct? Is the majority always correct? The majority sent Bill Clinton to the White House. I know some of you guys say, well, it's not really majority. Technically, yes, you're right. But in broad sense, majority decide because the economy is good, we will keep who is an unethical person. It really doesn't matter what he does. That's how we bend our rules. That's how we bend our standards for the sake of economy. Shame on us. If the Gomer pile is still around, he would say, shame, shame. Proverbs 16:25. Let's go to Proverbs 16:25. Proverbs is located right behind Psalm. Proverbs 16:25. All right. My Bible says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is death. I ask you to underline a narrow way and narrow gate and difficult way. John, let's go back to John chapter 10, verse 9. John chapter 10, verse 9. John is located right behind Luke. Chapter 10, verse 9. It reads, I am the door. Who is speaking? Who is speaking? It's red letter, Jesus. Jesus said, I am the door, I am the gate. And if anyone enters by me, he shall be saved. He will be saved and will go in and out and find a pasture. Let's go to John 14:6. Some of you guys know this by heart. Jesus speaking. John 14:6. I am what? The way. Not a way. It's a the way. The truth. The life. No man come unto the Father but by me. There's only one way. Alright, we found two paths. One is broad, one is a narrow. One is popular, one is not popular. And we find different kinds of methods that Jesus is bringing up to us about two trees. There's nothing more unpopular for somebody to tell us to go to a particular, this narrow way, and it's crammed with the people. We don't like that kind of thing. We like to have a room. Come on, we like to have a stretch room. We don't want to be all crammed into one area. We like breathing room. And we like opinion. We like multiple choice. But Jesus is not concerned about our opinion. His idea is same thing, same as mine. Let me phrase it. My idea is same as his. If he needs opinion, he will give it to you. He does not go by popular consensus. He does not pass out a questionnaire to you and me and just fill out what you want and I'll do it the way you want it. He has a standard. We have to go with his standard. However, we cannot meet his standard. That's why he came down to meet us. Matthew 7:15. Be aware of the false prophet who comes to you in sheep clothing, but inward they are ravenous wolves. False teacher outside, it looked like a normal people and looked like one of us. As a matter of fact, he could be here or she could be here, false teachers. They smell like a Christian, they look like a Christian, they talk like a Christian, they even raise their hand like a Christian, they sing like a Christian. But are they real? No. They might have a designer sheep clothing outside, but they are wolves inside. They come for one reason. Just like the father of them, who is Satan, they come to seek and destroy and kill and steal. They are wolves. They are deceptive. They are destructive. They are looking for somebody to destroy. First, this is what Jesus said, and Peter echoes in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Satan is the roaring lion seeking whom may devour. I'm sure you heard this before. If you give an inch to Satan, he will be a ruler. Don't give him an inch. First compromise will lead to another compromise. And another compromise. It is the nature of the false teacher, false prophets, to deny who they are and deceive other people. And we go to the verse 16. You will know them by the fruit. Do men gather grapes from the thorn bushes or figs from the thistles? Verse 16, all of a sudden we find out that Jesus is changing the storyline from the wolves who disguise himself as sheep, but this time he's changing the story to the tree. However, tree does not bear different kinds of fruit. Peach tree does not bear the apple, nor the apple tree does not bear the peach. We can see what they are, who they are, by looking at the fruit. Verse 1 of chapter 7, judge not, you will not be judged. As I said before, a lot of people use that in other contexts. You cannot judge me, brother, or you cannot judge me, sister. So in other words, I'm going to continue to do what I'm doing bad. However, they forget that in context, after you take your plank out of your eyes, you can judge that person who has a speck in their eyes. We are allowed to judge by the comment from Jesus. Here, we are to judge their fruit. Just because somebody stands behind the pulpit or behind the Christian TV camera, don't buy everything they say. If they said John 14:6, you better look at John 14:6. Don't buy their story, hook, line, and sinker. That's why we have so many immature Christians running around who has no idea what they know about. In our church, to be involved with the ministry, we ask you to fill out the ministry application. Why? Is it for me to make your life difficult? No. I'd like to know you. Same time, you get to know what you know about Christianity. While you fill out the information about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and what is the water baptism and what is the Trinity, when you write those things down, you have that abstract theology in your head. Now, you have to bring that thing into the sentence. All of a sudden, you have to think. It's good for you. It's good for me. There are so many Christians who don't know anything about what they believe when it comes to defend what they believe, to give a hope, to give a reason for those who are asking you. You have to tell them in a proper manner. We are, according to the Word of God, we are supposed to be ready in season, out of season. All right. There's three things I'd like you to understand. Number one, please pay attention for the manner of the living of the teachers. If they say, if you believe in God, you will have all the things you want. And at the same time, if they ask for money, they are false teachers. Did you hear what I said? Some teachers say this. If you come to God, you'll have everything you need. Just demand, you claim it, believe it, grab it. Simple. If you have enough faith, you can have it. But same time, they ask for money. Why don't they have used their own faith to get money from God? In my opinion, they are false teachers because they don't live what they claim to be. Second thing, we should pay attention to the content of their teaching. We should pay attention to the content of their teaching. What do I mean? As I said before, the Word of God is the measurement ruler. Don't just listen to what they say and just take the whole thing without examining. As Brian did in the book of Acts, we should look at what they're teaching according to the Word of God. However, This comes in supply and demand. Listen carefully, please. If there's no demands for those kinds of teaching, there won't be false teachers. So, the responsibility falls on our laps. We want to hear somebody tickle our ears. We want to hear what we want to hear, not what God says. You know what the Word of God says about it? Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine. Underline, will not endure the sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. In other words, we ask for false teachers because we don't want to hear what we should hear, but we do what we want to hear. Our own desires. Third thing I'd like to bring attention to you is that we should pay attention to the effect of the false teachers. If there's a ministry and this particular teacher is claiming, and look at them, if the people in that ministry is growing in the Lord, in the Word. If they are not growing in the Word, you might consider that person, the teacher, one more time before you follow that person. If they are not growing in the Word, what do I mean in the Word? I'm not talking about Bible knowledge. I'm talking about maturity in Christ Jesus. Maturity has nothing to do with the Bible knowledge. Does the devil know the Bible? You can bet on it. He can quote a backward in Greek and Hebrew. What does that do good for him? Nothing. Knowing Bible verses doesn't mean a thing if we don't apply that Bible verses. It doesn't matter how much we know. We go through the Bible, but it matters how much that Bible goes through us. Verse 17 of chapter 7 in Matthew. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into fire. Therefore, by the fruit you will know them. This is what Jesus said, so we have to do what he says. Fruit is an inevitable result of who we are and what we are. Eventually, it doesn't matter what kinds of disguise we'd like to make. If we are not real, we will bear bad fruit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. Let's go there. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians is right before the Ephesians, right after 2 Corinthians. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. Some of you guys already know. I know what he's going to talk about. Yeah, that's right. Fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to ask you to pay attention to one particular word. No, actually two. Verse 22. But underline fruit. Okay? Not fruits. Not plural. But it's a singular. Fruit of the Spirit says what? Is or are? Is. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience or long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. I ask you to underline fruit and is. It is a popular concept for a lot of people to think that fruit of spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, all of that stuff. There are nine fruits. Is it true? No. There's one fruit. What is it? Love. What the rest of them? They are the aspects of fruit. Ladies and gentlemen, let's not exalt ourselves because we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. Does the gifts of the Holy Spirit still exist? You can bet on it. Word of God says so. And I don't see anywhere in the Bible says, okay, after the first century, this gift of the Spirit will not exist anymore. But however, the gift of the teaching, gift of the healing, gift of this, gift of that will exist. Say, oh, where? Find me one place. I don't care about the denomination where you've been in, but find me according to Word of God. I'll believe. I'm challenging you. Do not boast about the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because God, Holy Spirit, give to whomever He desire, whomever He determine, has nothing to do with our qualification, but has everything to do with God's decision. However, the fruit of the Spirit is a completely different story. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, but through that Holy Spirit's gift, we must, what? Bear the fruit. If somebody is calling you? Yeah, somebody's calling. Do you want me to answer the phone? It's all right. Never mind. Don't worry about it. Fruit of the Spirit is love. Within the love, there is a joy, peace, patience, kindness, all that stuff. So, when we bear the fruit, it shows. Is it good fruit or bad fruit? There's no disguise. All right, there is another thing that Jesus talks about. It's two claims. Verse 21. So we talk about in verse 15 through 21, we hear about the prophet, false teachers. However, from the verse 21 to 23, we find the followers of these false teachers. Just push all the buttons. Verse 21, not everyone who said to me, Lord, Lord, shall not enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, underline, many will say to me, capital M, in that day, what day will get there? Lord, Lord, have you not prophesied in your name, cast out the demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Underline, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Did you notice Jesus claiming that on that day, many will say to me on that day, He is telling us He is the one who will judge us on the judgment day. Who will judge people on the judgment day? God or man? God. Would that be angel? Absolutely not. It's only God. Only one God. Jesus. So he should be called rightly as a Lord. And people, we just read it, they prophesy and they cast demons out and they done many wonders in Jesus' name. Can pretender, can non-believer do miracles? Yes. All of a sudden you're thinking, okay, that's a wrong theology. No. Jesus says so. Miracle is done by God. It's not done by human. He just happened to use that person as what? Channel. Let me ask you this. In Old Testament, there was a particular animal spoke to a man. Donkey. God used donkeys to speak to the man. Is that a miracle? Would you consider that as a miracle? I do. When was the last time you talked with a dog and talked that dog back to you? Or like, you know what, Matt, I really don't like the same food over and over and over. How come you eat different food? I get to have the same old food. The dry food is not even yummy. You give it to me every day. What do you think, I'm a stupid dog? You know, when was the last time you carried a conversation? But that old prophet has a conversation with the donkey. In my opinion, I would consider that as a miracle. So if God can use the donkey to speak to the prophet, God can use anyone. As a matter of fact, let's not be so excited that God is using you, God is using me. God will use anyone. God used Satan. So that speaks volume, don't you think? Jesus is not doubting that their claim, they're casting demons out, they're doing wonders, and they're prophesying. But however, what he's emphasizing is there's no relationship. What does Jesus say? I never knew you. This is not something that they lost salvation. Let's make it clear. Let's not go there with Calvinism, Arminianism, and they could use this portion so you could lose the salvation. No, this is not what Jesus is saying. Jesus said, I never knew you. In other words, from the beginning, you are not mine. They pretended. Simple fact. Titus chapter 1, please. Titus is right after 2 Timothy. Titus chapter 1, verse 16. Titus chapter 1, verse 16. They profess to know God, but in work they deny Him. In work, what does it mean? Fruit and claims. They deny Him, being abominable. I can't even pronounce. Disobedient and disqualified for every good work. They cannot keep up with their own life. They cannot claim the way they want with their mouth. Let's make a few applications. Number one, only one gate leads to the eternal life with God. Only one gate leads people to the eternal life to God. Jehovah's Witness, if you stay home on Saturday morning, knock on your door, and with a big smile, Jehovah's Witness comes. Or sometimes you have the guys with the black pants, dark pants, white shirt with a tie, and then bicycle helmet, bless you. And they come, and they smile, have a cheesy smile, and they want to talk to you about the end time. I had a Jehovah's Witness coming to my home, so I usually said, come on in. And usually they start, I ask them about their Jesus. I said, your Jesus is not the same Jesus as mine. And they said, well, in Greek, I said, well, come on in. I happen to have a computer up, and let's take a look at in Greek word. They start to backpedal real fast. They were told how to tell you about Greek. But they really don't know how to look in Greek. Their knowledge is limited. However, they will confuse you. Listen carefully. They said, we are saved by the grace of God. And you will feel all of a sudden, okay, what's wrong with this picture? And they said, both cults says, he is Son of God. But if you listen carefully, he is a Son of God. Then, here's a punchline. If you want to make a clear distinction, difference between Christianity and Jehovah's Witness and Mormon, ask them, is Jesus God himself? They will say no. All the cults, all the occult will deny deity of Jesus Christ. That's the common denominator. Let me ask you this. Flat out, you tell me, is Jesus a Son of God? Yes or no? Is Jesus God himself? Yes or no? If you don't believe that, you do have a problem with God. Remember what I said at the beginning. Either you for God, you're against God. Is Jesus the Savior and Lord in your life? Yes or no? If you don't have Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior in your heart, you will not go to heaven. Your good work doesn't mean a thing to God. Coming to church, Calvary Chapel, whoop-de-doo, who cares about Calvary Chapel? Doesn't mean a thing to God. Being baptized doesn't mean a thing to God. But I'm a friend of deacon. Wow, God is impressed. You can be a pastor. You can be a priest. As a matter of fact, there will be a lot of pastors, there will be a lot of priests who will go to hell. How about Gandhi? Isn't he a good person? Yeah, he's the goodest person in hell. They all don't look good. Can you top what Gandhi did? Most people cannot. If Gandhi is in hell, you and I have a problem. Without the blood of Jesus Christ, without the receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, simple fact, nobody will happen. That's not what I said. That's this word of God says. You may say, I don't agree. Fine, don't agree. Whether you don't agree with the fact or not, fact stands. Fact is exclusive. Fact is narrow-minded. Fact will not negotiate. Do you think I'm trying to cross the point? Jeremiah 14:14. I know I'm going a little longer than usual. Bear with me, as if you have a choice. Jeremiah 14:14, right after Isaiah. Regarding the false prophet, this is what Jeremiah spoke from God's mouth. 14:14. And the Lord said to me, the prophet prophesy lie in my name. I have not sent them, commanded them, nor spoke to them. They prophesy to you false vision, false divination, worthless things, and the deceit of their heart. One more verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. We are almost done. Bear with me. Chapter 11, verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. No wonder Satan himself transformed himself into the angel of the light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into the minister of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Clear, isn't it? Third application. Only one kind of person will have the assurance of eternal life in Christ Jesus. Who are they? Born again Christian. John chapter 3, verse 3. Unless you are born again, you will not be entered into the kingdom of God. I think I made myself clear. So it really doesn't do any good for somebody to say, well, after I die, after they die, I will pray for that dead person. Maybe they will come to God. No. Once you died, you're dead, you're stiff, you're gone. There's not a thousand prayer can change anybody's destination. So salvation is not for tomorrow. Salvation is not for next day, not even next moment. Because your heartbeat might stop right now. Today is the day of salvation. Time is now to come to know Jesus. I'm not going to ask you to bow your head or close your eyes. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, this is time. Raise your hand. Right now. If you have any doubt that you may not go to heaven, it's time now. Alright? God knows your heart. And you've been playing games with God, it's time to come back. Make up your mind. Either you're for him, you're against him. Let's stand up and pray. Please, I beg you, don't listen to the teachers because